So first I wanted to cover a little bit of background since we've already had one phishing talk. I'll try to make this brief. And also what motivates us and why we're doing this. So everybody knows traditional phishing. This is an example of a PayPal phish. So what we do at UAB is we actually try to go out and collect this information either through, well, both through storing the actual data, the HTML pages, the images and all that, as well as taking some screenshots for visual identification. All this to say that there's only a limited amount of information you can get, only the web-facing information by actually going out and fetching the web page. There's some stuff that's going on, i.e. the data storage and exfiltration, through email, batch file processing, whatever else, but they're sending that off-site, and that's where they're going to go and take and exploit these credentials. That information can't be found in the phish. What you have to do is try to find the phish kits. The phish kits are just compressed file formats that you're used to put on the web server and set up the entirety of the phish, both the web-facing side and the server side. So, for example, here's a file that we pulled, a little code snippet, PHP file from one particular phish. What this is actually doing is this is taking the user's credentials, wrapping it up in an email, and then sending it out to the value mail users. And if we go and look at this next PHP file, the include up there, the oops.php, we actually see that this is the email that's going to be receiving that. Of course, this is just a sample one. but this is what we call a drop mail. So these drop mails contain a wealth of information that for various stakeholders is really important. Imagine you're a financial company, you're a Gmail, whoever, and you want to find out, hey, how can I quantify how much this is costing me, either in user credentials or out now fraud dollars? By getting a hold of these drop mails, and if you can get law enforcement to use their powers to ask, persuade, to get access to this data, you can actually see what credentials were stolen by a particular phish kit, and then try to relate that to a phish. So this is very useful. So kind of the first step we need to take for doing this is when we're trying to investigate a phishing campaign, identify, hey, what phish kit is this brand, what brand is this phish kit targeting? And one of the problems is, unlike phishing, phish kits don't advertise, hey, this is where my main page is, this is where I'm looking like the brand that I'm trying to target. So you instead have to laboriously go through manually and try to find the page and then try to make a manual visual identification or read the HTML code and make an identification that way. So what we wanted to do was create an automated method for that. And that first step was trying to identify the kit. And what we thought was, well, look what's displayed prominently just like on the phish, graphics. So the kit's going to contain usually either a reference and a lot of times the individual graphics themselves. So what we're going to go after is we decided to go after, scan the kits, try to find all the graphics, and then try to automatedly, at least semi-automatedly, tag that kit with a brand. And the first step was trying to correctly tag the images. So to the effect, we chose a color image analysis algorithm. It's a color histogram. It's a very standard image analysis technique used in multimedia databases for image retrieval. Basically what it does is it gives a color distribution representation of the image. The quick and dirty of the algorithm, it goes through for each pixel in the image and pulls out the top two bit or the most two significant bits from each RGB channel of the pixel. This leaves you with possible 64 values for any given pixel. So we go through the image, count how many pixels are ranging from this value or in a particular 0 to 64 bucket. That leaves us with a count in each bucket. We then take and figure out how much, what percentage each bucket makes up the image. Hence, we have our color representation. So that's essentially what we used. We used that with a few little twists, though. So the first algorithm we evaluated was the global color histogram, which is exactly as I described. The next one was the local color histogram. What that does is the same thing as the global, except with a little trick, it actually subdivides the image. So you get local color histograms for each of the individual squares there. In our case, we used a 9x9 grid, or 3x3 grid, resulting in 9 squares. The next one we looked at was the LCH with some pre-processing steps. The first was a dimensional constraint, which basically eliminated any two images from being evaluated if the dimensions of the images were too far off. The next, we applied a background removal. What this attempted to do was isolate one or two colors that are very, very prominent, and then try to remove those, leaving us with hopefully what would result to be foreground text, symbols, stuff like that, that are more relevant to the brand. The last algorithm with a twist that we kind of evaluated was the same thing as LCH plus, except we added in a minimum bounding box pre-processing step in between the dimensional constraint and the background removal. Essentially, what this tried to do is isolate the foreground text symbols before applying the background removal. As you can see in that regions image there, the dotted outline is what the dimensional bounding box or minimum bounding box came up with to isolate down to. So what kind of data did we evaluate this on? Well, we're lucky at UAB, and we have lots and lots of phishing kits collected over the course of several years. Collection consists of approximately 57,000, a little shy of that right now, but in the last few months, I'm sure we've gone way over that. And what we did is we went through and collected all the images, and we deduplicated them by hash, which we then manually reviewed, came up with 215 images that are relevant to particular brands. Then there were another 9,915 general images, i.e. images that were most likely from ads. Sometimes the compressed files we get aren't always kits. They could be stores of data, images, stuff like that. So those were non-brand specific images. So when we manually reviewed this, we looked at the 215 brand specific images, and as well as saying, hey, these are brand relevant, brand specific, we applied a brand tag to them too. This resulted in a total of 42 different brands being covered. And then we tried to split this into a training and test set. A quick, dirty methodology we used was to chronologically go through and say, okay, well, we're not going to stop collecting our training set until we at least cover those 42 different images or 42 different brands that we've seen in our 250 brand relevant images. That resulted in 109 training images that are brand relevant. We then used the remaining 106 testing or brand relevant images in our testing set, as well as all of our general images. So how we applied the color histogram algorithm to determine if a new image in the testing set was actually going to be brand relevant, and if so, what brand, we calculated a minimum distance threshold to relate images. And that's a little different for each of the four algorithms. We used a judge function that optimized for a lower false negative, if I remember correctly, based on connections that we generated between our training set. What we then did was we took once we got our minimum threshold for each algorithm, and fed our 106 brand relevant and our 9,915 general images through this, and found the most similar image for each of the testing images. And if it met or exceeded that minimum threshold to one of the training images, we said it is brand relevant and it is whatever brand is that training image is. We then, of course, calculated our true positive, true negative, false positive, false negative for each of the four algorithms. And most importantly, here are our results. Here are each of the algorithms with a breakdown of all those four different possible classifications. So you can see the GCH didn't do that great. The false negative isn't too bad, but of course we only had 100 images that it could false negatively classify. The real bad thing there was the false positive. So if we're trying to retrieve kits by brand, getting an extra 971 is not a good thing. We see a little bit of an improvement with the LCH. Where we drastically see an improvement on our false negative drop is LCH to LCH plus. So some of those pre-processing steps, mainly the background removal, really did help. And that's also where we have our lowest false negative. Then we move on to LCH plus, and we cut out a few more false positives at the cost of some false negatives, which, of course, because the ratios of the general to the test image or general to brand relevant images kind of spikes our accuracy percentage a little bit higher there. So quick discussion on some of the problems that we saw with this. So as you can see here, with the GCH, the false positive can easily be achieved by any kind of image, general image, having somewhat akin to a similar global color distribution. As you can see, that Market Chat 10 has the same or very similar enough color distribution to the Santander image, hence the false positive with the GCH, hence why we had 971 of these. So we move on, we look at the LCH false negative here. So the LCH was actually pretty sensitive to minor color changes. Because of that grid distribution we were using, you could see that the gold in the verified by Visa at the top, the gold's on the Visa, but on the bottom, it's on the verified. Well, that caused us to not recognize this as a verified by Visa. The test image on the bottom and training image on the top being the closest related pair there. All four images did have a problem though. Because we're using a color distribution representation, anytime we have two images whose color distribution, especially if the foreground color distribution is the same, both globally and locally, none of them are going to be able to tell them apart. Hence the image set there on the end with the Banco de Chile and the no image available image. How funny is that, right? So those are some of the issues that we've found. So overall, the LCH algorithm, or set of algorithms, is generally better than the GCH, mainly because when we're doing the kit retrieval, we want to try to count down that false positive, i.e. the amount of work we're having to do. The different pre-processing steps really helped out, especially once we added the background removal and the dimensional constraint to go from LCH to LCH+. These are sufficiently accurate, we believe, for at least doing the kit retrieval. It will drastically cut down on the amount of work and the number of kits we have to manually investigate when we're going in and reviewing these. Some future work, we would like to explore some visual feature extraction, especially if we can get something that's quick. Since we're having to process so many kits and the number of images wouldn't be too bad if we can deduplicate first, but we'd want to increase the runtime, maybe use a multi-dimensional index to make that better. But we'd also like to use maybe possibly some other algorithms that are a little bit more focused on text and symbol extraction, especially from the foreground. Once we find either an individual algorithm or a suite of images that seem to work sufficiently well, we'd also like to start trying to, as we pull a kit in, try to actively label it instead of waiting for the investigation and using and expending all the manual effort. That's going to require a little bit more work and a little bit improvement in both our false positives and our false negatives. We also think that, you know, even though this is a simplistic algorithm, it might be able to join it with the set of algorithms that we use for our fish branding, i.e. use this to brand some of the screenshots and wrap that in with our current suite of branding algorithms. And this might also be useful for spam identification in images. And that's my talk. Questions?
Well, let's thank Jason for giving us plenty of time for discussion. So, who's first?
Did you notice a difference when you were looking at different file formats versus JPEG versus PNG versus SVG?
How many of those we had in the kits? Or?
Well, when you're looking at the bits and looking at the images, did you notice like any difficulty classifying based on the file format when you were looking at the different level of bits?
We didn't really look at the differences between the PNG, the GIF, and everything else. We kind of converted just to a standardized format when we were doing that. So it was really a lack of looking at the individual specifics for each format and more of just, let's look at the colors.
Okay. Any questions?
I have a question. So when you started your talk and you were describing why you're doing what you're about to do, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to do something slightly different.
Okay.
Namely, you're going to use the fact that by its very nature, phishing has to look like a genuine website to visually try to recognize what looks like the genuine website but maybe does not come from the right origin or doesn't have the right certificate automatically. Mm-hmm. Is there any impediment to maybe extending your technique to do exactly that so that you can automatically visually recognize phishing websites?
Could you say the last part again?
So you can automatically, visually, effectively recognize phishing URLs by the fact that they have to look like...
Very similar. There's been a lot of work done on that, both by examining and splitting up a screenshot of the main page, doing the whole main page, hence the last point in the future work, and also by examining the individual image files and trying to use that with a combination of this is not the right domain. So it's a dead horse. Okay. At this point, it has been beaten.
So why then are these techniques not applicable to your problem?
They are, and this is a very, very algorithmically similar area. The only difference being the end goal that we have in mind with this, instead of proactively trying to maybe stop people, identify using some kind of blacklisting technology, something like that, or investigating the fish themselves, what we're trying to do is pair that on the investigation side with the fish kits, which has the drop mails and all the other relevant information that the fish just don't.
Okay, great. Do
we have more questions?
Yes, please.
Just a comment. It's kind of interesting how images are being used for authentication, just like maybe certificates. So is there some sort of a, how do you allow vendors to come up with new images for branding, but make sure people believe that that's the correct image for it?
Right. I guess the giant marketing campaign associated with the new brand image is the only way I can really think of, off the top, at least currently off the top of my head. When Bank of America or some a large financial institution changes, you know it. It's on all the commercials and everything else. And that's a non-technical, way of accomplishing that. Outside that, yes, increasing the security. Why not at least do two-factor authentication, which most financial institutes are now, and a lot of other providers. I think now, Twitter is at least enabled to do that. There's a lot of stuff like certificates and everything else steps can be taken in that direction to at least make it harder for phishers to perpetrate the, credential theft that they do.
What inspired meeting the color resolution to such a low level? I mean, most of these companies have highly specific branded colors and it's perfectly specified. Are the phishing people deliberately distorting the colors?
No, it was that it's easy and it's quick. It is very, 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 very quick. What we essentially end up with our color representation is a length 64 vector. And doing comparisons on link 64 vectors, smaller vectors, the better. So it was really a speed thing. And it seems at least limitedly effective here. Possibly if we do a little bit better job with feedback and some other stuff, we can improve our numbers. But yeah, it's accuracy and performance first. Performance.
If there are no more questions, let's thank our speaker again.
Thanks.